In today's Mishnah, from the first and second Mishnah, from the seventh parak of Masechta Bava Batra, the Mishnah begins. Hamar lachavero, if someone says to his friend, Beit Kur afar ani mocher lach, that I'm selling you a Beit Kur, which is an area of land, of afar. Now, he could have said karak, he could have said land, or he could have said property, but he used the term afar. Understanding when he says afar, it means that he's going to sell him fertile soil, land at which he can actually plant something in it. Just to recall, when you say Beit Kur is actually a volume, but always when it comes to dimensions of land, we find that when the volume is used, it means the area of land that is needed to plant that volume of grain. So back to our case, though, he said, I'm giving you Beit Kur afar. The Mishnah says, Hayusham Nekaim, if there are ditches, there are amokim asara, that are 10 tvachim deep, or aslaim gvohim asara tvachim, or there are large stones, boulders, that are 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide, we say, Einam nindadin ima, that they would not be taken to the calculation, meaning we'd need a entire Beit Kur aside from these ditches and stones. Because the understanding here is when he says, I'm giving you a Beit Kur afar, this is the area that of actual land that you can plant in. Pachot mikan, if it's less than this, meaning if the stones are less than, or the ditches are less than the dimensions I've already stated, then nimda dinima, they would be still calculated as part of the dimensions of the promised land. And that is because it's impossible to have any land that's completely pure, and once they're considered that small, we don't subtract their space from the promised space. If he says to him, Kebeit Kur Afar, that I'm selling you Kebeit Kur Afar, the Ke as a prefix is really like a Beit Kur Afar. So the understanding here, as soon as he says this, he says, I'm not giving you selling you a completely consistent area in which you can plant, so therefore, Afilu, Hayu sham nekaim amukim at yoter masa tvachim. Even if there are ditches that are greater than tvachim, or slime or boulders that are taller than asra tvachim, hari elu nindadim emal. It would still be measured along with it. We wouldn't subtract their space. The Bartanura points out is a different case. He says that what if he simply says Beit Kur? He doesn't say afar, he doesn't say ke Beit Kur, or he says, I'm giving you a Beit Kur karaka, this area of actual land. In that situation, we would say that even if the entire field was filled with stones and one couldn't plant anything in this field, it would still be sold. Why? Because there are many purposes for which one would want to buy a plot of land. And you can simply say that I was selling you this dimension of actual land. I never promised you'd be able to plant in it because I thought you'd be able to use it for other purposes, for example, to build a house. Let's now learn Mishnah Bet. Mishnah begins, Beit Kur Afar Oni Mocher Lach. Once again, he's saying, I'm going to sell you a Beit Kur Afar. However, he adds the terminology, Mida Bachevel. He says, measured out. In other words, no less, no more. In that situation, Pachat Koshu Yinakeh, Hoter Koshu Yachazir. If once we measure out the land, it's slightly more, slightly less. If it's slightly less, well, he'd have to return some money to the purchaser. If it was slightly more, the lokeach would either have to pay him more money or return some of this land, as we'll see in a moment. Now, what's interesting here is Kanti points out that what about the concept of ona'a? If you remember previously, we learned the concept of fraud when it comes to sale, meaning if someone overcharged or undercharged by a particular threshold, then the sale would either have to return the amount or the sale would be null and void. But we said also there that ona'a fraud doesn't apply to karka, doesn't apply to land. So why in this situation are we so particular that if he says mida bechevel, if there's any variability from the promised amount, then we have to correct the situation. Now that is because this case is different. Meaning, when we say there's no fraud, no ona'a when it comes to karka, that's when we're referring to the actual price, meaning it was overcharged or undercharged for that block of land. However, what we're dealing with here, this is where we're dealing with actual measurement, the promised measured amount. In that situation, since he says, mida bechevel, I'm giving you exactly this bit of land, we'd have to correct any digression from the amount that was promised. Let's continue. Mishnah says, in the im amar, if he said, hen chaser, hen yater, if the seller says, I'm giving you plus or minus, or approximately this amount of land, afilu pachat rovas lasea, or hoter rov lasea, even if the actual measured amount at the end was more or less by a rova lasea. Rova lasea is a rova kav compared to a seah, so in other words, 1/24th. We say higior. In other words, we have a window in which the sale would still go through, even though it's slightly larger or smaller than the promised amount. However, yetimikin, if it's more than that, so more than a 1/24th, we say ya'ase cheshbon. Then we have to actually calculate. The purchaser would have to work out how much was different and it'd have to be compensating. So mahu machzir, what would the purchaser actually have to give to the mocher? So there are really two options. Either you give him some land or you simply pay him more money. So Mishnah says we opt for the second option, which is ma'ot. He has to pay him more money. However, the imrat zayif, the seller wishes, machazir lo, he can simply return the excess, the land in excess of the promised amount. And the question is, why is it the first option is ma'ot unless the seller had agreed to accept some land in return? Then we say, lama amru machzir lo ma'ot, that's liyafot kocho shel mocher. That's really in order to protect the seller. Now this is because, let's say the excess was only a small amount, and we say, okay, the purchaser can simply return that to the seller. Well, it might be to the detriment of the seller, because the seller, it might be too small to actually use, it might be too small to sell on to anybody else, and he's actually received nothing. That's why the first option is really that the purchaser should pay him the difference. Now, Misha says, she'im she'er basade beitz tisha kav, and if the excess in a field was 9 kav, or beginner, if as a gan was an area of chatzi kav, or k'divrei b'kiva beit rova. In other words, if the excess was actually a suitable or usable amount now, that if you return to the mocher, you could actually use it or on sell it, then we say machzir takarka, then the lokach isn't forced to pay the difference, but he can now return the land. Mishnah says, v'lo atarov bilvadhu machzir, not just this small amount would he return, but ela et kol motar, rather the entire excess. What's this last statement the Mishnah is saying? This last statement is saying as follows. If you recall, we said once it gets above 1/24, we now have to do a calculation and return, say, to the seller or to the purchaser, the excess. The question is the excess of what? Which is saying, it says, we don't just go back the excess until you get to the edge of the window, so until it's 1/24, say, above the promised size. But once you go above this 1/24, you actually have to return the amount all the way back to the promised amount. And those are the Mishnayot today.